You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We have, as part of the Kriyas HaTorah, the mitzvah to read Pasha Zachar, which is contained at the end of Pasha Kisaitse. And over there, as you read the Psukim, I just want to read the Pasuk, which is the Psukim from Pasha Zachar. Zachar she'asol ha'amalek. The Torah tells us we have to remember what Amalek did to us. B'derech Tzeischem in Mitzrayim, when we left Egypt, the first nation to attack us after the miracles of Kodavisi of Kriyas Yamsuf and the miracles of Mitzrayim, first nation to attack us before we even got to Har Sinai, was Amalek. Asher Korcha B'derech, V'ayzayne Bohan Yechshol Macharecha, they literally caught you in the derech over there in a way that you weren't really prepared for them. Seems they cause some harm to some of the members of Klal Yisrael. You were tired, you had no energy. And unfortunately, this Uma who attacked you, well, your Elokim are personifications of a nation. They don't have any fear of our God. The Torah tells us that when Hashem will give us the ability to make Yerusha Yeshiva Beretz Israel, and we don't have to fight any milchemes mitzvos when it comes to our ability under normal circumstances to survive, we'll have a little more menucha. Hashem Echel Nosen L'Nach L'Rishto Timchezecha Amalek Mitachas Shemayim V'lo Sishkach. You should eradicate the nation of Amalek from under the heaven. Do not forget. So in this specific pasuk, Chazal tell us there are a number of mitzvahs. Number one, the concept to Zachar, to remember what Amalek did to us and the kavan is behind Amalek's attack of us. The concept of Sishchach, we shouldn't forget. And the Medrash tells us, Zachar, with your mind, remember basically intellectually in your mind, in your brain, what happened to you historically. And Sishchach, which means you have to also verbalize it, which means you have to make sure not only do you think about what Amalek did, but you have to verbalize it to keep this in your mind and your memory, and to could obviously remember what they did, what their purposes were. Those are mitzvahs referring to the zechira and the lack of forgetfulness. But then there's a halachic asay of timche. You have to eradicate Amalek mitachas ha'shamayim. Interesting enough, Chazal have a medrash Chazal that say upon this, when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, there were three mitzvos that were given to Klal Yisrael to implement at that time of her entry into Eretz Yisrael. Number one, to appoint a melech, which they ultimately did. Number two, to literally speaking, eradicate the Amalekim, which was a second major mitzvah he had to do, to ultimately build the Beis HaMikdash, to make a temple. We had three mitzvahs to be involved with when we came in there, but one of them was to eradicate the Amalekim, who still were around threatening the existence of the Jewish people. So the question I want to pose this morning is, what is the source of animosity of hatred that Amalek has towards the Jewish people, to a point that the Medrash says, and Rashi quotes this in the Chumash, Halacha b'yadua, that ultimately speaking, it's a known fact, without any question, Esav son Yaakov, Esav, and the progeny of Esav have an eternal hatred for Yaakov, since Amalek was the Einikel, the grandson of Esav, the animus which Esav had towards Yaakov was continued b'yerusha to his children through Amalek. And it seems the intensity of the hatred, as it went Yerusha from child to child, intensified over and over again over thousands and thousands of years. So the question is, what is the meaning, the significance of this mitzvah? The reading of Pasha Zachar we have this coming Shabbos is the mitzvah deraisa of Zachar to basically remember and to articulate what happened by reading these psukim at the end of Pasha's Kisaitse. What is interesting is that the concept, we mentioned the fact that it's Pasha Zachar, But in actuality, that's a concept of conceptual analysis and understanding. The actual physical implementation of this is the Timcha, is the actual eradication of Amalek from the face of this earth. What I want to dwell on this morning is the reason that Rabbeinu Shalom gave us such an intense mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek, Mtachas HaShemayim. I mean, what is the Kavana behind Amalek? What are they trying to do? Why did they attack us when they attacked us? What gives power to Amalek to try to attack the Jewish people over thousands and thousands of years? What's our ability that we have to prevent the machshava of Amalek from taking place? Because we know for a fact that when it comes to Amalek, we saw their kavanas manifested in the text we're going to read from the Megillas Esther on Purim, which is going to be the week after this specific Shabbos. As we come basically to Thursday night and Friday, we're going to have the Yom Tov of Purim. And in the Megillah we read twice, it talks about what Machsheves Haman was, who is the progeny of Amalek in his generation, what the kavana of the edict was against the Jews, to literally destroy complete genocide of Anoshim, Anoshim Vitaf, men, women, and children from the face of this earth. They have as their agenda the total eradication of the Jewish people in its entirety. That's their kavana. That's their game plan. That seems to be their mission in this world. Uncredible as it might sound, and literally as crazy as it might be, their entire machshava, their entire essence, is the eradication of the Jewish people from the face of this earth. They do not have any fear of the God of the Jewish people. Literally, it's hatred without any limitations. And we're going to see today, as I analyze this, that we have to see in Jewish history and world history where Amalek attacked us, how they tried to attack us. And a very simple question I pose as part of the questions we'll be dealing with today, how do you identify who Amalek is in the 21st century? You know, who's carrying a flag that says Aman Amaleki to have this mitzvah apply b'zman hazeh? And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because when the Rambam himself, Halach Lamasa, brings down the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek in his Mishneh Torah, in which he deals over there with the halachos that relate to what we have to do b'zman hazeh when it comes to our activities in Torah v'mitzvahs, the Rambam is very explicit in the fifth chapter of Hilchas Malachim, where he tells us that this mitzvah applies b'zman hazeh. We don't have a problem of identification. Unlike the Rambam says, the concept of hachrim tachrimim, of destroying the seven Canaanite nations that lived in Eretz at the time of Kibush Yeshua, we cannot no longer identify these Canaanite nations. Their memory, who they are and what they are, their identity has been forgotten by mankind. The reason being is Chanfer of Melech Asher came, as the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Masechtas Yadayim, Bilbo Omos Kalam, he literally conquered and changed people's location from their homeland to foreign lands, divide and conquer, and therefore he was Mavalbo, all the ethnic origins of all the peoples on the face of this earth. But for some reason, the ethnic origin of who Amalek is to this very day is known to us, and we have to understand how that takes place. How is that possible? But I want to go back to the first major question. What is the source of the animus, the hatred, that in fact we find that Amalek has for us? So Chazal point out, let's go back to the beginning of the Chumash, to the beginning of Parshas Toldos. And we find a very interesting discussion that takes place there between Amalek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and between Rivka Imenu. The Torah tells us that Baruch Hashem, after Yitzhak and Rivka prayed for children, the Rabbeinu Shalom granted their tefillos, and Baruch Hashem, they gave birth to children. Not just one child, they gave birth to twins. And Chazal tell us that she went to the local Navi to find out why she had so much pain taking place during the gestation of these twin boys. Vatelech Libros Hashem. And the answer of the Malach gave, and the Hest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yomer Hashem lo, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, there are two nations going to emanate from your stomach, Shnei Le'umim Ayich Yeparedu. Now the word Le'um means these are going to be two nations that have two different ideological concepts of the purpose of why we were created and put into this world. They're going to be ideological opposites, Mikatz El Katzah. There's going to be continuous competition and strife between one and the other. But at the end of days, at the end of time, Rav Yavatzar, the older one, will be subjugated to the younger one. This was the nevuah given to her. And the two children we're referring to is, at that time, Esav, who was the older son, and Yaakov, who was the younger son. So there's a prophecy in the Tanakh that there's going to be continual tension between Esav and between Yaakov. This tension will be manifested over the thousands of years of world existence. The progeny Yaakov and Esav will have continual competition on various levels taking place. And ultimately speaking, as time goes on, as difficult as the period might be, and the pain she was suffering was indicative of the pain of the coexistence of the Bnei Yaakov and the Bnei Esav together in this specific world, the ultimate resolution of this competition and whose ideological concept will ultimately win at the end, that their le'um, their specific ideological hashkafas will win, is going to be Rav Avos HaTzair. Esav, who's the older one, will be subservient to the younger one, to Yaakov. Yaakov's ideology and hashkafas will be the final hashkafas olam at the end of time, b'maisa Mashiach, and Esav's hashkafas will be eradicated when it comes to all the negatives he basically espoused during his lifetime and during the lifetime of his progeny as well. Now, to make things a little even worse than this, the Torah tells us that we come to the end of Pashas Toldos, and we have Yitzchak handing out the brachas to his two sons. Yaakov comes and receives tremendous brachas from his father, Gishmak brachas. When it comes to the concept of Esav, it seems Esav came a little late, and he starts screaming and yelling, I want bracha also, I want a bracha also. And ultimately speaking, Yitzchak acquiesces. But listen to what actually is said between Yitzchak and between Esav as a continuation of the nevuah of Hashem to Yitzchak and to Rivka concerning the life and the ultimate relationship between Esav and Yaakov throughout world history. He says the following, I want you to know, Vayan Yitzchak Ove Vayomei Lav, I'm first going to give you your bakasha to have the gashmius of the world you're interested. You're going to have tremendous abilities financially to survive and thrive in this world. Your temperament's going to be, you're going to live by the sword. Now, the fact that this was said to Esav was no chiddush, because at that time, chiddush that Esav already demonstrated as he was growing up, that he had a different type of personality than Yaakov, where Yaakov was Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim, quiet person, studied, meditated the religious beliefs in God and tried to permeate God's mitzvahs in this world. Esav was an Ish Sa'id Yisadeh. He was involved in hunting and killing and murdering. Chazal say he was professionally involved in not only murder, Shvichas Dam, but also an Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos. He was mekayim all the Isurim of the Torah when it comes to Isurim Chamurim, the various Chamuros. This was his personality. So if you hear Yitzchak saying that your personality, Lidaris, is going to be Achab Chatichya, you're going to live by the sword. However, one thing I want you to know, Esachicha Tavoit, under normal circumstances, you will not have the ability to prevail over your brother Yaakov and even have the ability to destroy him. However, there's one exception to this. And what's that exception? So the Nebuah continues, if God forbid your brother Yaakov will undergo a yerida ruchanis, a spiritual decline, and not observe the Torah of the mitzvahs he's supposed to be observing, you'll be able to break loose from being subservient to Yaakov, you'll be able to go on the ascent and he will go on the decline. At that juncture, you'll have to have the ability to have power over Yaakov and perhaps have the ability, anything you want to do with him during that period of spiritual descent. So if you take both nevuahs given to Rivka and to Yitzchak and you put them together, it already seems from the beginning of time that there was going to be a known rivalry, an animus, a jealousy between Esav and Yaakov, competition on all different type of levels. The competition and the jealousy was going to reach a level that when possible, when Esav saw the circumstances taking place and felt that at that time Yaakov had left the Derech HaTorah that Hashem wanted him to observe as the Ish Tam Yosef Ohelim, and he had a spiritual Yerida, he was no longer observing the Torah of Mitzvahs he was supposed to observe, that spiritual lapse will give the ability for Esav to break loose, to threaten the life of Yaakov and his progeny, and to use the Achaba de Tichya to eradicate the problem. So we see a tension being described even in Pashas Toldos concerning the progeny of Esav and the progeny of Yaakov. In actuality, the fact is, when you think about who ultimately emanated from Esav, much of the Goyish world we have today are products of Esav. Amalek was a grandson, quite obviously, of Esav. So it's understood that whatever animus that Esav had, he gave over Yerusha genetically to his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, L'chol HaDairos. So we have already some type of basis to understand where the jealousy, the hatred, the competition, and the desire to destroy Yaakov through the violent behavior of Esav, where it emanated from, and that is the nevuah mentioned in Parshas Toldos. What's fascinating, Chazal tell us, is Esav already said in Toldos that he waits for the time and the place that he says the Yigru believo, you may evil avi, that my father should die. And as soon as my father dies, he doesn't see what I'm doing, Ahage es Yaakov Achi, he dreamt one day with his father no longer here, we have the ability to eradicate and destroy Yaakov. We know for a fact when Yaakov was told by his mother to leave Eretz Canaan and go to her brother, to Lavan, to find a shidduch, she warned him that your brother is out to kill you because of the jealousy and hatred, etc., etc. So she wanted him to go away to save his life. So he already knew of the animus and the intentions of Esav against him. The Midrash and Chazal tell us that as Yaakov was going on the highway to go to Lavan's house, Esav tried to have him killed by sending his son to destroy his uncle. But since his uncle had brought him up, he had rahmanis and compassion upon him, and therefore did not activate the concept of trying to destroy his uncle Yaakov. He just took his money away, a person who's the Ani Chashev Kames, symbolically. That's why when Yaakov came to the house of Lavan, he had no resources to give the children, the daughters of Lavan, because everything was already stolen by the son of Esav as he brought it back to his father. So the attempt, Chazal tell us, of Esav to kill him failed at that point in time. There is a Medrash Chazal which tells us, however, since Esav heard he's going to the house of his uncle Lavan, he communicated with Lavan. Now Lavan was as much as an idolater with all the evils of the idolatry world as his nephew Esav was. He was a big Ovid of Avodah Zarah, besides all the other things he did that were incorrect. So it seems a message was sent by Esav to Lavan, I couldn't get rid of him, but maybe by being by you and marrying your daughters, maybe in that context, he'll be your of God, and you can get rid of Yaakov when he's living by you in your house. Chazal allude to this specific conspiracy in a passage we read in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Quite interesting. The Haggadah says, Sei ulamad, ma bikesh Lavan arami lasos liYaakov Avinu. Let's take into consideration what Lavan wanted to do to Yaakov Avinu, to his nephew. Shaparu lagaza ela hazacharim. Paro only wanted to kill the menfolk of the Jewish people. Lavan bikesh lakas hakel. But Lavan wanted to destroy everybody of Yaakov's mishpacha, men, women, and children, etc., etc. And if that's the case, we see that Lavan became part of this specific conspiracy. However, Chazal point out the word la'akar is very interesting. In Tanakh language, especially in biblical language, the word for an Avodah Zarah is the word akar, an akara. Therefore, what Chazal interpreted this to mean is that where Esau wanted to destroy the physicality and the physical existence of Yaakov Avinu, didn't accomplish at that point in time, and the concept of the Paro and his group trying to destroy the physical essence of the men of the Jewish people, Lavan ultimately tried to destroy everybody, but how could he destroy everybody? Laka means he wasn't out to physically kill them, but he was out to spiritually destroy them, to make them Ovid Avodah Zarah like he was Ovid Avodah Zarah. That's why he wanted Yaakov and his family to stay with him as long as possible, hoping over time they would assimilate and acculturate and go away from the Zayin Mitzvahs and the other mitzvahs they performed and stop being idolaters, with the hope that if they do that, there'll be a Rida Ruchanis, and the eradication of the threat to Yaakov and his Hashkafis would be eliminated, fulfilling the pact he made with Esav. Chazal tell us that unfortunately, for Lavan, he failed. And there's the Medrash Chazal quoted by Rashi in the beginning of Pashas Vayishlach, that when he came back to Eretz Canaan from the house of Lavan, it says in the Medrash Chazal quoted by Rashi, Im Lavan Garti, believe it or not, he sent this message to his brother Esav, I was with Lavan, and I know what your machshavas were, I figured it out. Im Lavan Garti, and despite that, Tayag Mitzvah Shamarti, I observed all the Tayag Mitzvahs that we did as Ein Mitzvah Isa from the time of Avram up until our time. Lolamati Mamasif Aram, I didn't learn from the evil ways of Lavan, which means I had no Yerida Ruchanis in the 22 years I was in the house of Lavan. I maintained my religiosity. The wives, which are the daughters of Lavan, they became religious and observed mitzvahs like I do. And the Yud Bei Shvatim that were created there, ultimately speaking, likewise maintained the spirituality that I basically inculcated in them and taught them. So we have a Mita Shlema. There's no Yerida Ruchanis. Esav, remember what our father told you? As long as I'm spiritually astute, you have no shlita over me. That's why when Esav finally met Yaakov and his entire mishpacha, he realized he couldn't make a milchama with him. Chazal say he kissed him. Now whether he kissed him or he wanted to bite him in his neck is a machlokes amongst different mefarshim. But one thing is for sure, that Esav saw he couldn't make an actual war against Yaakov yet. The Chabach HaTichich wouldn't work. But he tried one more time to try to spiritually destroy Yaakov. We said, Nisa v'nilech v'elchon nagdecha. Let's go together. Let's travel together. The Chazal said it's meant more than just that. He said to Yaakov, listen, I worship one God. You worship another God. Maybe we should make a partnership and share our deities together. You'll worship your God. You'll worship my God. He wanted to spiritually dilute the spirituality and the ruchnius of Yaakov. Yaakov saw this gesture of friendship and love and compassion that Esav demonstrated had an ulterior motive. He rejected it. He said, you go forward. I can't move so quickly to keep a distance from Esav to make sure Esav's machshavah, the shrem, either physically and spiritually, would never ever take place. Chazal tell us later on, when we find the Malach of Esav attacking Yaakov and ultimately wounding him momentarily in the sciatic nerve, Chazal say that attack in the different midrashim indicate the desire of Esav and his progeny either to kill Yaakov physically, as we see in world history, or to spiritually acculturate and assimilate Yaakov and destroy him spiritually. That attack showed that there's going to be attempts always continuously by our adversaries to destroy us physically or spiritually or both. And therefore, it was a mice of a similar banim that we have to be on guard continuously for the actions of Esav and his progeny in the future. Always be on guard, always be suspicious of what their kavanas are. Once again, halachi b'yidua, Rashi says, Esav son yes Yaakov, that sin and animosity mentioned in Pashas Toldos still is brewing in the genes of Esav's progeny to this very day. When later on we find Chazal telling us that Esav married into Yishmael's mishpacha as well, the gene pool then brought in not only the Malchus Edom into this hatred phenomenon, but then ultimately the Arab world by this gene pool connection brought it into the Arab world as well as a continuation of this animus against Yaakov Avinu. So the stage is being set now in Chumash to explain the actual competition and the threats to existence, physically and spiritually, that happened then are going to mirror what's going to happen in the future. Myself is similar, but so we already have a little understanding of where the animus of a Amalek, who is the grandson of Esav, got it from. But now we get into today's sugya to really get into the heart of the actual topic. So if that's the case, Chazal tell us that when we come to Parshas Bishalach, and Klal Yisrael already had the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Ten Makos, and the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, which are even more than the Makos of Mitzrayim, as we say in the Haggadah. They experienced Mamin HaShemayim, and they experienced the Ber Mayim, the Schus of Miriam. There were Ananiya Kavod, and despite all the miracles that they experienced, and people knew about this, when you read the Oz Yosha, you see how the world was trembling because of the power that Klal Yisrael demonstrated because of the Rabbanu Shlom's supervision of all of the activities of Klal Yisrael, Hashem Shmira, his watchfulness, and his Hashgacha Protis to protect the Jews against all their adversaries.
You are listening despite to seeing all of that,
the hatred which Amalek had for Yaakov and his progeny, for Klal Yisrael, in their genes, when they found the time and place to attack us, despite the fact that they might have realized that when they attack us to destroy us, they might be killed in this mission. It might be a suicide mission. They attack nevertheless. And at that point in time, as the Pasuk tells us, the end of Pasuk Bishalach, Moshe appointed Yeshua to take the most righteous of Klal Yisrael to fight this milchama. When the Kavanas were Hashem Shemayim, they were Mizgava momentarily over those specific Amalekim that were attacking them then. They defeated them in that specific battle, but there wasn't a total eradication of all of the Amalekim at that point in time. But we do see that the fact that Klal Yisrael have lived a miraculous existence up until that point in time against all odds, it didn't stop the hatred possessed by Amalek going back to Teiras Yerusha from trying and attempting to destroy him, even though it was possible by trying to destroy them, they might cause their own self-destruction as well. So we therefore see, once again, an historical case scenario of how crazy Amalek is in their animus and their hatred towards us. That's why the Psukim tell us, which I just read from Pasha Zachar, remember what happened when you were going through the trek from Mitzrayim. After all the miracles you experience and everything that you experience, Amalek comes, finds a weak point, we'll explain what the weak point is. They attack you, trying to destroy you as much as they possibly can. Realize the animus and the hatred that they have towards you. Their whole essence is to destroy the Jewish people, to destroy the progeny of Yaakov Avinu, as Esav hoped to have accomplished when he was still alive. It's there, it's blatant, It's insane. It's mishuga. Halachi b'yu Esau is Yaakov. There's no logic we can justify this with. But this is the persona of who Amalek is. Therefore, you have to be on guard, Kalal Yisrael. You are genetically Rachmanim, B'nai Rachmanim. You're loving people. Rachmanim HaKamasim, you're Rachmanim of the whole world. And Ur LaGoyim, which was taught to you by Avraham Avinu, to be spiritually and physically concerned for what's happening in the world at large with all the Umas Olam. You're an Ur LaGoyim. You have a mission, a universal mission besides your own personal mission. But you have to be on guard despite that. And even though you're Baal Rachamim, there are times that you can't be a Baal Rachamim. When the people out to destroy you, they're being rode of you, they're pursuing you in different formats when they're capable of doing such. You have to take the ability to destroy them first before they destroy you. That's a mitzvah in HaTorah, not only on a personal level, but on a national level. The milchamas of self-defense of Klaus throughout the generations, where nations tried to destroy us. Those wars of self-defense are milchamas, hamitzvah, of the din of saving us from those who are right of us, who are trying to pursue us and kill us. Milchemes mitzvah of Mechias Malik is milchemes mitzvah of basically defending ourselves against the rodef, the eternal rodef. And that is the Amalekim who want to kill us. Our killing them first is Abolah HaGeh Hashkim V'Hago. We take the initiative to get rid of them, self-defense, before they have a chance to kill us. This already is a specific prototype of an interaction between the progeny of Yaakov and Esav that's going to take place throughout the generations until the end of time. So you already see where the animus and the jealousy and the hatred and the eradication machshava of Amalek developed from, what their agenda is. And historically we saw, in every generation there are people who try to destroy us following in the hashkafas of Amalek. And we see by Purim, Purim is the greatest proof that Haman HaRasha, with all that he had, the wealth, the Aisha, the power in Malchus Persia, he wasn't happy until he was able to accomplish one thing, to destroy Mordechai Yehudi and all the other Jews that were part of the family of the Jewish people. Until he eradicated them, he didn't feel he was a success. And therefore he caused Achashverosh to feel that he should have the same exact emotion. The Jews are no good for you. They're a detriment to your empire and your power. They don't listen to you. They don't respect you, etc., etc. It wasn't too difficult for him to arouse anti-Semitism in the hearts of other people as well. And therefore, once again, there was an attempt in the time of our Persian exile to have Amalek come and Lahash Abi Kala Yehudim, Anoshim Hashem Fetav, total genocide of the Kala Yisrael. We did what we had to do in tshuva and such, and Hashem Napachu allowed the table to be turned. Instead of our enemies killing us, we were able to attack and defeat our Rodfim. We were the Nedafim, they were the Rodfim, and kill them instead of them killing us. This is the narrative we see in Tanakh, and the reason we read Parshas Zachar on this Shabbos, Parshas Tetzaveh, is because the coming week afterwards we have Purim, in which we read the Megillah, in which we remember the machshavas of Amalek to destroy us, and what we did at that time to try to prevent it from happening. Havol HaGech HaShkin V'Hargo, what did Esther Mordechai do? They basically convinced Achashverosh to give us, the Jews, the ability to defend ourselves, self-defense. He wrote out a specific charter saying the Jews on this day have a right to defend themselves with royal mandate. Esther was in the right position to cause this to happen. Mordechai was also in a certain good position to implement this. So once again, the Reitfim of Ahmali tried to kill us in Persia. Habol HaShkiv V'Hargo, Klaiyasot took them on and destroyed them. But now we come to a very interesting question. The question is posed by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the famous Rav Chaim of Brisk. Listen to this very fascinating question. He says, we know for a fact that Haman was of the progeny, direct progeny, of Amalek. The Torah tells us, Magogi, we know he goes back to the kings of the Amalek. So we know that he's an Amaleki. But what's fascinating is when the other anti-Semites in the empire of Persia reached the day that supposedly they were supposed to have the right to kill the Jews, and the Jews came along with their official permission by the Persian leader to defend themselves and to fight off these anti-Semites, we don't see any indication in the Psukim in the Megillah that these individuals who fought the Jews and wanted to kill them, who were killed by the Jews later on, that they were Amalekim. Only we know Haman was. But if you look at the Targum Aramis, the Aramaic Targum on Megillas Esther, look at it tonight, you'll see an incredible thing. It says all the people that they killed in the Empire of Persia who tried to attack the Jews, and the Jews fought back and killed them, they are all referred to as being members of Beis Amalek, coming from Amalek. And Reb Chaim said, how do you know that? What's the pasuk? What are the scriptures that indicate that specific reality? It doesn't seem to be indicative of what the psukim in the Megillah say. So what's the answer to this? So says Rav Chaim, a Soloveitchik of Brisk, a tremendous chiddush. When it comes to Amalek, the two types of Amalek upon which the principle of Timcha Zech Amalek applies. Amalek number one, the actual genetic progeny, directly going back to Esav and Amalek, these are what we call ultimately genetic Amalekim. It's in their blood, it's in their veins. This is what's been fed to them all the thousands of years, this animus, this hatred, this right to destroy us. Those are the genetic Amalekim. But he says from the Megillah we learn there's another type of Amalek. Ideological Amalekim. People who might not have come from Amalek or from Esav directly, but they have in their blood, in their mind, in their heart, an animus of anti-Semitism, a hatred of Jews. And when you're out as a guy and your desire is to destroy the entire Jewish people, men, women, and children, if that's your hashkafa, if that's what you believe, you become an ideological Amaleki. And Reb Chaim says, once you do that, the mitzvah of Zacha and the mitzvah of Loisishkach and the mitzvah of Timcha applies to ideological Amalekim, it said. So if that's the case, since these Persian non-Jews wanted to destroy the Jews together with Haman, they became ideological Amalekim with the genetic Amalek Haman, the destruction of those Goyim was a key of the mitzvah deraisa of Timcha, whether you're a genetic Amaleki or an ideological Amaleka, the mitzvah of Timcha applies to you. And this is a tremendous chiddush. That's why Rav Chaim says another chiddush. That's why he points out in the question I posed before something quite fascinating. I asked the question, over here Sancheriv capturing the Mideast and literally mixing up the population centers and moving people from place to place, so their initial identity as being a member of this nation has been destroyed, as the Gemara tells us in many places, why is it that Amalek was not also included in this specific mix-up? How can we identify Amalek today? Despite this, the Rambam says when it comes to the Shiva Amamim, since there was a Bilbo Umos done by Sancheriv, Kva Avad Zichum, we can't identify them anymore. When it comes to Amalek, he doesn't make the statement Kva Avad Zichram. It seems that we still identify who Amalek is. But Amalek doesn't walk around with a banner, Aman Amaleki. They don't wear a special party pin. So how in the world do we know who Amalek is? Rav Chaim says the reason the Ram doesn't have to worry about that, because the Ram held, as I just said to you, not only as a genetic Amalek halachli under the mitzvah of Timcha, like you have by the Shiva Amim, that was a genetic concept. Whoever Shiva Amim, those genes of those nations are the people of whom mitzvah hakrim takrim applies, that milchemes mitzvah. When it comes to Amalek, whether you're a genealogical mishpacha to Amalek or you're an ideological member of Amalek, you both are usher when it comes to the concept of not forgetting about who you are and what you're doing and remembering in the past what you tried to do to us. The mitzvah zach of Altishkach applies to everyone who has that anti-Semitic feeling of destruction of the Jews at the utmost level of their mind. The mitzvah of Timcha, of you killing them, destroying them, eradicating them, technically applies to all of these Amalekim, and that's why the Rambam says it applies even Bizman Hazeh. So what's the relevance of this Talmidos? Listen to the following. I had the schus of being the Talmud of Rav Chaim Brisk's Einikols. He was my Rebbe. Of Yosha Ber HaSalveishik, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Yitzchok Hanan, was the grandson of Rav Chaim Brisk. He wrote a special mimer after the Holocaust called Kol Dodi Dofek. It still exists. It's been reprinted. Beautiful. It was written, initially it was said in Yiddish, written up in Hebrew. It's now translated into English. And in this mimer, Kol Dodi Dofek, he discusses not only what happened in the Holocaust, but he then discussed what happened when we had Hakamas and Medina taking place later on. And well, he basically tries to teach us something quite interesting. He says, I want you to know that during World War II, where our big enemies were the German Nazi people, where they were trying to eradicate us, literally genocide, the concentration camps was an attempt of total genocide, they were the Amalekim of that period of time, if not genealogical Amalekim, surely ideological Amalekim. And therefore, the mitzvah of Timcha Amalek applied to the Germans at that time. And we see that Rabban Hashem helped brought other nations in together and ultimately defeated and eradicated the Nazi German party and their army by the end of the war, saving a good group of Jews. Unfortunately, a lot of them were unfortunately killed in the Milchama, in the concentration camps. But there was an eradication of Amalek at that point in time on some part. Some Jews participated in the participation. Some Jews, in fact, were part of the American army, and therefore they fought in the war against the German army. Some were basically people living in Europe, Jews, who fought as partisans against the Germans behind the scenes. But Benkach u Benkach, they were the Amalekim of that period of time. Soloveitchik says, however, we haven't gotten rid of Amalek. There's a new group that's taken over the charge of Amalek. It already started during the time of Germany's desire to destroy us, and that is the Arab world. At that time, left by the Mufti of Yerushalayim, he encouraged Hitler to destroy and eradicate the Jewish people. He encouraged him, and the fact is, after Germany was defeated, that animus, that hatred, that desire to destroy the Jewish people, the Rav said, is still continued by the Arab world to this very day. Arab countries who came together when you had Hakamas Medina after the UN voted to give us back Eretz Israel on a certain level, and there was a declaration of state of Eretz Israel, and as soon as that declaration was made, all of a sudden all the Arab nations banded together with millions of soldiers with the most powerful weaponry of that time and tried to destroy the fledgling nation of the Jews who was starting to rebuild in its infancy Eretz Israel, to rebuild it, to build it up, to bring Jews there, to inhabit it, and to develop the land. We were attacked from all sides, land, air, and water, by the Arab world. People thought without a question that they're going to destroy the Jewish people, which only had 600,000 people at that time, and there were millions and millions of soldiers coming with the most sophisticated weaponry to destroy us. What ended up, the Rabban Hashem runs the world, not the Goyim. Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis, he wanted us to return to Eretz Israel. He gave us a miracle, Rabba Miyad Miyatim, a miracle even greater, in many respects, in proportion, than the miracle of Chanukah, and we were able to defeat, in 2 years, the Arabs who wanted to destroy us. This is an historical reality. The Agudas Israel, in their books of history, write on this Nitzachon, Me'es Hashem Ha'Yisrael Zos, in Yiflos Beineinu, it's the Yad Hashem, giving the Jewish people the ability and military capacity to return and rebuild Eretz Israel. That's why Gudda says we're not going to join the government and make sure religion is part of the Israeli government when it comes to religious concerns. There's a lot of narratives, historical narratives on this, which I'm not going to go into now. But the crucial factor is that Amalek is any type of group of people who avow that their purpose is the total eradication of the Jews, their ideological Amalekim on the bare minimal, and the mitzvah Zacha v'Tishkach and the mitzvah of Timcha applies to them as well. In today's world, Talmidos and Talmidim, it's not difficult to try to identify who Amalek is. You look at Iran, you look at its surrogates, whether it's in Lebanon, you have Hezbollah, in the Gaza Strip, you have Hamas, in Yemen, you have the Houthis. Just look around the world to all those Arab nations or related Arab nations and the terrorists whose sole desire is to eradicate the Jewish people from the face of this earth. When they sing their battle cry, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, they're talking about not a two-state solution, they're talking about a one-state solution. To drive Rahmanul Itzla and Chas V'Shalom the Jews into the Mediterranean Sea, and they, our world should take over the entire stretch of Israel, Eretz Israel, from north to south, east to west. That's their kavana. That's their battle cry. The eradication of the entire Jewish people. That's why many of the leaders of the world, when they saw it happen October 7th, looked upon that as Holocaust number two. The total genocide eradication of all the Jewish people. People have to open their eyes and realize what's happening here and why it's such a serious situation and why it's not just October 7th, but this is happening every day. When people shoot 180 ballistic missiles at a country, they're out to destroy everybody. When people are basically blowing up buses, seven buses with powerful bombs, if this would have happened during the day when the buses were running, which is what their kavana was, it could have killed thousands and thousands, Rahman al-Islam, of Jews. Thank God, Hashem made a miracle. And instead of being 9 a.m., they put in 9 p.m. and the buses were going off when they already were back in their stations. They weren't transporting people anymore. Tremendous miracles are taking place over here. The Yad Hashem is upon Klal Yisrael. The Hashgacha Pratis is upon Klal Yisrael. The Gedolim and Eretz Yisrael, who are witnessing this, I spoke to a Rav last night, a friend of mine who's a distinguished Rav, in Eretz Israel, said to me, the miracles are going on each and every day. It's not all reported in the news. But the Gedolim are pointing out to Klal Yisrael, look what Hashem does, how much He loves you, how much Hashgacha Pratis He's bestowed upon you. No other nation has the Shmira we have as Hashem bestows upon Klal Yisrael. So we're now in a war. The war we're in is not just a war against the Arab world. It's the Melchemes Amalek that Chazal say is going to continue until the end of time. The only question is, what's going to be the ultimate completion of this milchama of Amalek against the Jews? When is it going to end? So I want to share with you another pasuk going back to Parshas Bishalach. When you look in Parshas Bishalach at the first major battle of the Amalekim against the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says at the end of that parsha a specific nevuah, which I want to share with you today, to give you some encouragement. Hashem says the following. Vayom Hashem el Moshe, Kesov zos ikarim v'seifa, v'sim ba'ozni Yeshua. I want you to record who Amalek is, what their desires are, what their machshavas are, and that is the total eradication of Yeshua. I want you to record this. And the Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah, it's recorded in the Torah, it's recorded in the Nevi'im, in Sefer Shmuel, and it's recorded once again in the Ksubim, in Megillas Esther. I want you to record this. I want the Jews to realize Amalek is a real entity. And I want you to realize, if that's the case, you have to understand that they're a danger continuously to the end of time, the continuation of the animus of Esav, Halachi Vidua Shesoni Es Yaakov, and Amalek, this is a continuation of that. But I want you to know, at the end of time, there's going to be the following reckoning. And that is, Ki Yad Al Keska, since they're not only fighting the Jews, but they're fighting the God of the Jews, they're putting their hand on the Kisa covered of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melchama of Amalek Midar Dar, I'm going to finish off the battle. Moch Em Chazech Amal Tachza Shamayim. When it comes to eradicating the Hashkafa of Amalek, eradicating that terrible, terrible form of anti-Semitism that wants to commit genocide against the entire Jewish people, you as human beings can do the timcha to defend yourself. You have to have an army, you have to have the capacity to fight them off as Klal Yisrael does have, Baruch Hashem, a miracle. We have an army now defending us on an international level, and especially in Eretz Israel. That's a major miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have the capacities to defend ourselves today. It's a miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to some Gedolim, that's a simon of the Mashichias around the corner. But besides that, we have to realize that the ultimate filtering of anti-Semitism from out of this world is the ultimate Chemez Gog Magog, which is the war we're in now, part number 3, against the major adversaries of the Arab world, who are the Amalekim, ideological Amalekim of our generation. That's the final war we're fighting now. Milchemes Mitzvah of the Messianic era, a very, very powerful war, a war that's mentioned in Sefer Yecheskel and Sefer Zechariah. That's the final battle for Klal Yisrael's ability to become ultimately the eternal people of Hashem, and for the Gullus to be completed, Gula to take place, and the ultimate peace which we are Mevakish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be given to Klal Yisrael to the end of time. We're holding that to Kufa Tamid and Tamidos. Do not fool yourself. This is what the Chafetz Chaim said to his Tamidim before he passed away. This is the third war of Gog and Magog we're fighting now. But I want to mention one important factor, and I'll end with this. What I did not mention, I'm going to mention it now, why did Amalek have the ability to attack us at this point in time in the Midbar? Why later on, in Purim time, did Haman and Amalekim of that empire have ability to attack us at that specific juncture? What's going on over here? So Chazal say the following, this is the last piece I want to share with you. Chazal tell us that the place where this attack took first in Pasuk Mishalach was a place called Rephidim. Now, besides being a place name, Chazal say this has other ramifications as well. Rephidim also means Rav Yudei Medivrei Torah. It's an acronym. They weaken their hands from Divrei Torah, from doing Torah and mitzvahs and believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rephidim also means Peridim. There was a separation, a controversy amongst the Jews, fighting with one another. So Chazal say, you want to know how Amalek has the ability to have a momentary ascendancy upon us, that we shall have Yeridu Rechanis, that Amalek should even think and have a hanami that can destroy Jewish people. When they undergo a Yeridu Rechanis, Rephidim, and rebel against Torah and mitzvahs, and they have tremendous controversy, sinas chinam amongst themselves, perudim, that gives momentarily the Amalek the ability to have an aliyah, parak savar al ma'atzarecha, break off the yoke, and have the ability momentarily to attack us. What do we do to prevent that from continuing? Klai Yisrael m'shava libel v'yishav shemayim in pashas at den v'shalach. They showed the B'tochen and Kadosh Baruch Hu returning to Hashem, stopping the strife, stopping the machlokes. They made shalom amongst themselves, and ultimately they dedicated their hearts not to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and rebel against those who could obviously want to hurt them and cause them problems. So therefore, that ability, if you read the Ruchanish, just hold on one second. Wait a minute. So Chazal say that Yerida Ruchanis is what enabled Amalek momentarily to do what they did. Chazal said when Chayso did Tshuva, it eradicates that possibility. The same thing happened when it came to Purim. Shimon Yochai told his Talmidim, if you want to know why Amalek had the ability to have ascendancy at that point in time, it's because they were Mishtachlil Tzelem, they bowed down to an idol. Number two is, they had Hanor from a Suda made by Achashverosh in the beginning of the Megillah, which represented the finality of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's no longer going to be built. The promises of the year may no longer be kept. The Jews came and they celebrated and they ate at that Suda. Instead of getting nauseous, they enjoyed the Suda, which represented the total destruction of the Nevuahs, at least in the mind of Achashverosh, of the redemption of Klaus, of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gula of the Jewish people. To show his total bittle of this, he wore the big day kahuna to show that he's now the Kohen Gadol, and the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash he desecrated by using them as drinking and eating vessels to serve the meal. Having Hanah participating in such a sacrilegious suda basically was terrible for Klal Yisrael, caused a punishment being of total destruction against them. Also, the fact there was tremendous machlokus amongst Jewish parties in Persia. All of that worked against the Jews. And that momentarily gave Amalek the ability to quietly try to threaten them. What did Mordechai has to do? They made a fast, a tainus. Knos Kol Yehudim, they brought the Jews back together, they shouldn't be fighting anymore. They did tshuva on those averus of Mishtakel Tzelem, and the concept, ultimately speaking, of Habi Hanor from that Suda. Once again, they inculcated in their belief that we're going to have a redemption take place, and we're going back to the Beis HaMikdash and rebuilding it. And in fact, the irony is, once they won this war of Purim, the heads of the Persian Empire, Darius number 2, helped the Jews go back to Eretz Yisrael, rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, gave them the finances and the political clout and the military coverage to do this. So we see Talmidim and Talmidos that what we have to do today to prevent the Amalek from having ascendancy above us, where they see in Eretz Yisrael Jews fighting with each other, tremendous acrimony, when they see over here the concept of people denying the ability to have proper Shmirah Shabbos, not allowing Jews, even secular Jews, to be able to daven Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, and literally people trying to prevent people from being Torah mitzvahs. This happened, if you look back historically, a couple of weeks before October 7th took place. The Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael say this explicitly. What Klal Yisrael did as a result of this terrible tragedy is they came together in Achdus. Many people returned to Torah mitzvahs, putting on tefillin, being Shomer Shabbos, as we see in the last 500 days. Many Jews recommitted themselves to Torah mitzvahs. A lot of the acrimony has ended, and therefore in a tshuva process now. And we have to hope and pray that if the tshuva process continues, and there's a lot of shmiras, satira, and learning Torah happening in Eretz Yisrael, Torah is a magen, and a matzal Torah protects us and saves us. Let's hope and pray in the schus of Torah of mitzvahs that we do, and the learning of Torah, and the achdus of Klal Yisrael, that this will give us the zechuyos to eradicate the Amalekim, and we should be zech not only to be zech in the timcha, we should be zech with the mocha emich, with the Kadosh Baruch coming and finishing the job. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful Simchas Purim. Remember, we have a part in causing the ultimate result taking place. Increase our Torah, our mitzvahs, our chesed, our loving kindness. And with all of our Klal Yisrael around the world doing this, we'll bring Mashiach B'tzkein to remain the Amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.